become a disciple, what's the rudiments, the fundamental rudiments of in a life of a disciple? We've covered that. And then we said we're going to build the pillars of discipleship by having the right marks of discipleship. And we've covered a few marks. One is supremacy for God, a supreme love for God. We spoke about that. And then we said we spoke about a supreme love for the brethren. Thirdly, we spoke about how to separate from your family and love God more than your family. Fourthly, these are all marks in the Bible with scriptural references. Scripture interprets scriptures. Then we spoke about how to separate yourself from your own self, which is one of our greatest enemies is yourself. We invest more time in ourselves. We invest more resources in ourselves. We give more to ourselves than to the Lord.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a Christian, you can stay there. If you want to just be a member of a church, you can be there. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, unless you die to yourself, you cannot be my disciple. If I ask you a question today, and maybe it's a very relevant question to some, and to some may not so relevant. I ask you today, if God gave you 5 minutes to live and he rang your phone and said to you, in 5 minutes time of, let's be a little more realistic, in an hour's time, I'm going to take you away. Are you going to go polish your car?
No.
Talk to me. Are you going to put your shorts and run to the beach and have the last swim? What are you going to do if you had the last 15? And God is telling you, you are still so full of your purpose. You haven't gone and used up your purpose. The purpose I sent you to the earth with is still in you. You have not used one bit of it. What are you going to do? Maybe it's a good place to get some responses. What are you going to do if you had one more hour to empty your purpose on the earth? Because God's intention for us never to go to the grave full. And that's why the grave is the richest place. Because so many ideas have not gone to the next generation. Fathers have not taught things to their children. Last week, Mahonvel, we saw a set of golf clubs advertised. Set of golf clubs. And I said, I'd like to have that. And she said, why don't you get it? And then I thought of my dad, how I used to wake up at 4 because of apartheid, Indians could only use the golf course at 5 a.m. till 7. When the light comes out and the whites come to the golf, all the Indians must go away, Indian golfers, at St. Michael's. That's where we used to. My dad used to wake me up early to carry his bag with his clubs. But you know, he never took me to teach me how to swing a club. To swing an iron, or to swing a club, or to putt. Spiritually, many of us are not indoctrinating the next generation with a passion for souls. We're not indoctrinating our children of the importance of loving God. And 9 out of 10 times, you know, impartation is different from just teaching them. Impartation is where you teach them how to, you allow them to learn from your lifestyle. You take your boys with you to see what you do and how you live through impartation. Jesus did the same. I read a book by Coleman, and he wrote a book, and I like to put this, Robert E. Coleman wrote a book on the master plan of evangelism. And in that book, he lists the Jesus plan of how Jesus took ordinary people and discipled them. Come on. You would have never chosen the people that Jesus chose to be in your team. Peter was, he used to swear filthy languages. Jesus chose him. Matthew was a thief with taxes. Jesus chose him. And every one of them Jesus chose, and because he knew what they would become, he didn't use their past to determine how their ministry is going to go. He used what they become, what they're going to be. Because he could discern their lives. And so he used the following method. He used number one, and I think there's a clip that Joey will put up. He used the following clip process of bringing people to a place of reproducing themselves. We tell you today again, you are never meant to become a monument. You are meant to be a movement. If you are a monument where you are just stuck, you're crystallized, and you've just become a monument, nothing is happening in your space, check your salvation out. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to infect the environment that you are placed in, to become contagious, that people can gravitate towards you, draw from you, that you're carrying something. Every one of you carrying something. You're carrying a divine purpose. I didn't put that in you. God put that in you. Yes, he asked me to administer that. You know what? We lament every day. Val and I lament every day. Even last night, we're lamenting where people have lost their regard for God and his ways. We cry in our prayer for this church. People have lost their focus. They've lost their direction. They've lost their GPS. The GPS is turned off. They're going in the wrong direction. And so what happened? It brings you back to the same place you were, around and around. The journey of the children of Israel was meant to be 11 days. But why 11 days turned into 40 years? Because they lost their focus. They were plagued with a sickness called mumbling, grumbling, complaining. Got them nowhere. And many of them that looked forward that night in Egypt to leave, every one of them died in the wilderness, except for two. Out of 2 million, two million left that night. Egypt, only two made it, the original number. Well, the children that were born in the wilderness, they made it. But only two, Joshua and Caleb. What am I getting at? There is something inside of you that you have to go. Just put the whole thing, I'll just list it. Jesus went, he selected these people. And that's what we are asking you. Is there a company of people in this group that will go beyond just being a churchgoer, just being concerned about so many things? Let me tell you something. If you're not focusing on God, everything else takes your attention. You'll have no time left. Because everyone is putting up. It's like an auction. Everyone is putting up the hand for your life, your time, and what you want. Except, and everything is left to you. How are you going to distribute? There's time to sleep. Or Ecclesiastes tells, there's a time to live, there's a time to die. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to wake up, there's a time to sleep. There's a time to be concerned about yourself. There's a time to ask God, what do you want me to do for you? What is my aim today? To mobilize you. To mobilize you. Mobilize you. So Jesus used the following method when he started to disciple people. He got ordinary people like you and I, and he chose them. He chose them. Today we want to make a choice in this. Is there a company of people that refuse to stay where you are? They say, listen, I want to be discipled. Oh, I know enough. Please, I like to be recruited as a discipler. I want to either be a discipled or be a discipler. There's a family, new family right here, Risha's family. They are hungry to be discipled. Hallelujah. And we are looking for disciples. Those that know the Lord more than 5 years. Should, in your lifetime, every one of you should become a discipler. Where you're sitting across the table. And I want you to get this picture. I want you to sit, you have a nice table. Someone knocks at your door. It's a new believer. It's Arisha coming, and Justin coming to your house. They are bound to come to your house because you've been allocated. You said, I will disciple this new family. I will bring them from a place of where they don't know anything. I will be responsible, Lord. Let me tell you something. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Put this up, please. And what's the other scripture? Galatians 3. Do not be weary. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Time is gone. 1 Corinthians 15. Please just read this with me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the
work
of the Lord. You know, so many people today have this cliche, no, I'd rather love God more than I love his work. You can't separate both. You can't keep saying to Val, I love you, and you do nothing for it. Young people, always choose a partner that can do something for you. Not just say you 100 times a day, I love you. Must be converted. The formula is there. Convert it to action. Action is louder than?
Word.
So then, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't keep saying, I love God, 100 times a day, but you don't concern, not concerned with the work of the Lord. Some of us are so competent in so many different spheres of our lives, but when it comes to this, we lack. And God is saying to, in this narrative, Paul is saying to his audience, be steadfast, immovable, always, not sometimes, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that, read the last part, please, everyone, church, knowing that
your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
I'm going to tell you something, he's got a bigger checkbook than your boss. Amen. You don't believe that. See, what your boss can pay you is only your seed. He can't pay you what you're worth. Even the Holy Spirit living inside of you is not worth your check, because your salary is just your seed. Hello?
Mm.
You know what he's saying? If you abound in the work of the Lord, that's why you will see Mama Val and I. 1 o'clock in the morning, we are at a place of need. 5 o'clock in the morning, we don't. Our phones are on 24/7. Our phones are on 24/7. When we hear that phone ring, we are up, because we made a pledge with the Lord that we'll always abound in the work of the Lord. We will die in our work boots of ministry. We will not parade our titles. We will have a towel on our back. John 30. We will not be concerned. That's where God is ministering to us. And sometimes we go through terrible times of detoxing ourselves from self. Detoxing ourselves. No, I want a simpler life. I want to get rid of certain things. I want to give away things. I don't want this thing. We are keep doing these things because we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I invite a company of you to test the scripture, to take the scripture, to meditate upon it. Is 100,000 a month your worth? No. 200,000? No. God can give you supernatural favor.
Amen.
And I sometimes ago I said, one moment of favor
is better than a life.
Is greater than a lifetime of labor.
Amen.
Many of us are sweating day and night. There's going to come a time, I believe, those that love the word and will transition won't have to sweat from morning to night behind a machine, behind a desk, driving heavy traffic. Hello?
Mm.
God will allow things to come for you. There's a reaping time coming for those that labor in the Lord. There's a reaping time coming. How about you today, church? I'm placing this before you. I haven't even started this message because the Holy Spirit is impressing upon us to adjust ourselves, to get ourselves where he wants us to be.
Mm.
Knowing that your labor is not in vain. So we've pledged that we will labor, whether it's in this house or wherever God places us in the future. We will labor for the Lord. We won't give up. And God is bringing us through. And we just want to be faithful to what God wants us to do. So Jesus' master plan, he selected people, he associated with them, he consecrated them, he imparted to them, he demonstrated, then he delegated to them, he supervised what he delegated to them, and in them he caused the process of reproduction to take place. If you're not reproducing yourself, you are slowly dying. Spiritually, you could be a good Christian, but if you're not reproducing yourself, man, there's something wrong with your life. If Monday, 168 hours in a week, if you're giving nothing to the work of the Lord, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong that we have to address very urgently. Don't go to your grave full of the purpose. God wants you to empty it on the earth. Infect someone's life. Invest into someone's life. You know what? The Bible says, you'll hear these things, and when you go out of this door, someone is waiting to blur you, to obscure, to remove the memory of this word. Be careful. Every one of you are potent. You can do something in the work of the Lord. God will reward you. They say there's over 52 billion unclaimed pensions in this country. 52 billion. You know what? In God's vault, there are billions and billions and billions of rewards that are not claimed by the Christians. It's lying there because they're not indulging in the work of the Lord. God is waiting with all these rewards to give us, and then people are not getting. Supernatural breakthroughs are not being created. You are your worst enemy. Start doing something. But don't dictate to God. Allow him to lead you. See, sons of God are led. They don't lead the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit leads sons of God. Go down your knees and ask, Lord, what can I do in this simple microcosm, a little work in the body of Christ? Give me something to do. If Jesus came here and spoke today, would you all hearken? Let me ask you a question. You'll hearken. But Jesus will speak to someone that he's ordained to represent him. When I'm speaking, he's speaking. If Jesus was here, the whole of Chatsworth will be in this yard. But the servants of God that are called by God, preaching the word, Jesus said, if you abide in my word. So he's coming in his form of his word. And he's here. That's where he wants you to respect. He wants you to respect his word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, this morning the question is, and I want to close with this statement. We'll continue next week. So continue with what we are speaking about. Departure from sin is a mark of discipleship. Fruit bearing is a disciple as a mark of discipleship. And consistently attaching yourself to the Word of God is a mark of discipleship. So we'll cover that next week. But let's continue with this statement, the last scripture. Say this after me. Jesus' last command.
Jesus' last command.
Must be.
Must be.
My first concern.
My first concern.
Say that again. Jesus' last command.
Jesus' last command.
Must be.
Must be.
My first concern.
My first concern.
So let's read what's his last command. Stand with me. And I will continue this message next week. And I request from you, kindly, come with a notebook, come with a pen, Come with your Bible so we can explore these things. These are the only forums we have now. Sunday morning, make this a classroom of spirit. Okay, would you do that? Okay, let's read this last scripture. Say this after me. Jesus' last command.
Jesus' last command.
Must be.
Must be.
My first concern.
My first concern.
You believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Will you make his last command our first concern? Put it first on your agenda. And this is what he says. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And I'm going to close right now in Jesus' name. It's been a pleasure sharing the word of the Lord. I pray you in turn would say, I receive this word. I receive this word. I want you to eat this word. Because I'm going to show you how to break out into the supernatural. Don't lose out on an opportunity to rely on him to transport you into what God wants in your life. Get out. Say, get out.
Get out.
G-O. Go. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of where you are. Go. Therefore, and make
disciples.
Not converts, not Christians. Disciples. People that are hungry for the word. So creating your classroom in your home. Turn your home, one part of your home, into a place where you clear your cupboard, clear your desk, have some coffee, receive a new believer, teach them the principles. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 will kick in. The favor of God will come into your life. Easy, isn't it? Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is his last command. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Note the word teach. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, there's a command coming to you this morning. You get ready to teach, get ready to make disciples of people. You make disciples of letting people look into your life and see your example and draw from you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Disciples, a present.